Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Let's check in with Dan Leverfeld. Jets confidential. Nothing going on with the Jets in advance of Monday night's game against the Bills. It's a game where there's a shared first place at stake, and they just went ahead and fired Robert Saleh earlier in the week. So we've got a lot to get to, Dan. And as always, we appreciate you stopping by the Sports Bar. I'm curious, what was it, a culmination of things from what you're hearing? Was it one specific thing? You know, the firing of Robert Saleh, I guess, caught a lot of us off guard. You could look at his record and say it was deserved, but the whole escorting him out of the building and the whole way that it was handled and kind of viewed under a lens, a microscope, what was your take on all of this, and what led to this ultimately being the week that Robert Saleh lost his job?
Well, you know, this week, I wrote this a couple times, and I had a blog today at jetsconfidential.com about people are overthinking this one. This is very simple. This isn't Aaron Rodgers doing something behind the scenes or whatever conspiracy theory you might subscribe to. This was about a team with a really good roster and a window of opportunity this year with a weak schedule, and the AFC's a little watered down, getting off to a rough start, and the owner saying, you know what, this is our window this year. We got Rodgers. We don't know how much longer he's going to be here. We have a very talented roster. We can't let this spiral out of control. And there was some bad earmarks early in the year. They should have won their last two games. You know, when you limit Bo Nix, the Denver rookie quarterback, to 60 yards passing, and the game is at home at MetLife Stadium, you can't lose that game. And Sam Darnold is better, but that was another winnable game for them. So I think it was just a matter of the owner saying, this is a really good roster. This is our chance to reach the brass ring this year. We can't blow it. Let me do something to change things up a little bit sooner rather than later.
But why? I get that, but you could have just simply, and they ended up doing this anyways, you know, take away the play calling responsibilities from Nathaniel Hackett here. That's part one of the question. Part two, Dan, I know, you know, Aaron Rodgers, I don't imagine that Aaron Rodgers went in or called the phone or whatever, but some of the things we've observed here, whether that's the glance on the sideline, whether that's the, you know, telling her, you know, in a press conference setting, you know, about the cadence, that whole storyline. I mean, there's things indirectly that Aaron Rodgers, he's done here, would you not agree, that have kind of pointed to his head coach and say, Dan, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, the hug situation, let's call it hug gate, because we put gate on everything these days when there's a scandal. Hug gate, that was weird. But the other thing, that whole thing with the cadence, that was a media-created story. That was a situation where somebody asked Robert Saleh after the game, because they had five offside penalties in the Denver game, is something going on, you know, where the cadence is too complicated and guys are jumping off sides? And he basically said, we'll have to look at that. You know, maybe we need to examine that and whether these guys can handle it. And then the reporter goes to Rodgers a few minutes later and says, Robert said a few minutes ago that you guys might need to dial back on the cadence. He never said dial back. And that's when Rodgers said, you know, maybe we need to hold guys more accountable. So it's kind of a situation where it's kind of like a bad game of telephone, or a reporter didn't relay what one person said correctly to another person. So I'll dismiss the cadence thing. The hug thing was weird, I'll give you that. But I do think this was strictly Woody Johnson, the owner, saying, I gotta stop this train from derailing. And as far as Hackett with the play calling, you know, obviously they made the move to Todd Downing. I think that the protection issues were the biggest thing. And I think one thing that isn't brought up enough is the fact that the offensive line coach, Keith Carter, and the offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett, were not on the same page. And that was an arranged marriage. They never worked together. Saleh put them together. And it just last year, I mean, it would happen with Rodgers getting hurt in the opener. And then, you know, in other games where the left tackle where the offensive line coach asked for more help, like in the Dallas game against Micah Parsons, needed more help to deal with Parsons, not a 38-year-old tackle, Dwayne Brown, and that help didn't come from the offensive coordinator. So I think that these are two separate issues. The team needed more accountability from the head coach, and they also needed more of a situation where the offensive line coach and offensive coordinator were more on the same page.
Dan, we can look at the roster on paper and say, yeah, there is a lot of talent with the New York Jets. But talent doesn't always win football games when there's dysfunction within the organization or there's a schism in the locker room or whatever might be going on. So I guess with all that talent, are the Jets good?
Yeah, I think they are, especially in a really watered-down league. I mean, it's just not good. There aren't enough quarterbacks that are getting the job done. And it's just, you look at the AFC, the Jets have no excuse this year. Who's good in the AFC? I mean, Baltimore has had a resurgence the last couple weeks, so maybe they're going to be okay. And then you look at Kansas City, and then you like Buffalo, and Buffalo's obviously good. But who else? Cincinnati 1-4, like Pittsburgh with Fields, and that seems to be heading in the wrong direction. Like, so this is the year, like, the Jets can't mess this up this year. Another reason they can't mess it up this year is they have, remember that draft class where they got those four key players, including Sauce Gardner and Breece Hall and, of course, Garrett Wilson. All those guys are going to be coming up for contracts perhaps next offseason. So you know what windows are like, you know, covering the bills. Like when they had to pay Josh Allen, now he's underpaid, but when they had to pay him, they had to cut corners at other positions. Jets haven't had to do that yet. They might have to do that after this year. So it's one of those seasons where they have a lot of their key young players under contract. They have Aaron Rodgers in the building at 40. Who knows how much longer he's going to play, especially with the beating he's taking this year. They've got to get it done this year. So to me, I totally get why the owner did it. I don't like to see anybody get fired. But when you look at this situation, I don't understand the owner saying, we got to do something now before we're sitting at 2-5 and can't fix this.
Dan, I haven't watched as much Jets football as you have, certainly, but I did watch all the Titans game. I watched that loss to Denver. I watched last week against the Vikings in London. And my takeaway is, all right, when is the real Aaron Rodgers going to step up? And again, you watch more closely than I do, and I'm watching a quarterback that looks like Peyton Manning at the end, that the skills are kind of diminishing, and you could say it's the offensive line, but the mobility. Am I wrong in thinking that maybe this isn't going to come around for Rodgers this year?
No, I don't see. Obviously, the mobility isn't exactly the same, but that ability to create time and move around the pocket when there is pressure is still special. I mean, that touchdown pass in the loss to Minnesota that he threw to Alan Lazard in the middle of the end zone, moving around and throwing a laser into traffic, I mean, that was special. That Garrett Wilson touchdown in the New England game on the right side of the end zone, that not a lot of quarterbacks can make that throw. The problem, the protection has been awful. The last two games, he's been sacked 8 times and hit, like, what's the total there? Like 25 times.
Jeez.
That's unsustainable. And one of the problems there is people, one of the things is people, the NFL is not covered that great anymore because it's just everything is so superficial and surface driven. One of the problems with the protection that nobody brings up is that Olu Fashanu, the right tackle who's filling in for Morgan Moses, never played right tackle before. He was a really good left tackle at Penn State. Morgan Moses gets hurt. They put him out there. He's really struggling. And a lot of the pressure is coming from over there. So Moses should be back this week. That should help. So I just think that if the protection improves and maybe the combination of Downing calling plays with Keith Carter. Downing and Carter worked together for 4 years with the Tennessee Titans on Mike Vrabel's staff. So those guys are on the same page. I'm just telling you guys, if the protection improves, Rodgers is fine. There's some other things you might want to look at, but I don't think Rodgers' skill has diminished. I just think the protection issues are the root of the problem.
So, Dan, if we're going to talk about and focus in on that offensive line for the Jets being an issue with protection, what about the run game? Because Breece Hall has certainly performed below expectation through 5 weeks this season. What do you attribute that to? Is that, again, on the offensive line, or is Breece Hall just not the same player he was that we saw last year?
You know, something else that's not brought up around the NFL in terms of the coverage or not is the design of the running plays. Like, I saw a master at work, and anyone who watched the game saw it, the Jets-Denver game, where Denver could not run the ball in the first half, and Sean Payton goes in the locker room and re-scripts his play sheet, puts in runs that he thinks will work, and they were gashing them in the second half. I just, you know, I don't want to beat up on Nathaniel Hackett. He already paid the price. Well, he's still on the staff, but he lost his play calling. I just didn't see the adjustments in the running game to what might work better. I just think I saw a team just sticking to what they do on their play sheet and not saying, you know, we got to do what Sean Payton did in that Denver game where he changed the running game and they were gashing the Jets up the middle. So I think a more creative run game will help. And also, Breece Hall is not a power back. He's really good outside the tackles. He's an exceptional receiver. But in between the tackles, he's always been kind of middle of the road. That's why this rookie has to excite Jet fans so much. Braylon Allen, 6'1", 235 out of Wisconsin, a guy that just carries defenders on his back. So I think you'll see more Braylon Allen. I just wouldn't use Breece Hall in short yardage. But I'm surprised that the run blocking, even with the lack of innovation in the running game, the run blocking has not been great on this line, which was touted before the year with some high-profile free agent additions and obviously Fashanu in the draft. And I'm not going to kill Fashanu in terms of criticism because he's a really good left tackle. They're forcing him to play at a position, but that'll change this week with Moses coming back. So more Allen, more innovation in the run game. Perhaps that'll improve it a little bit.
Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential, our guest here. Dan, just going back to the beginning of our conversation, because, okay, the Jets made the move, but to me, and maybe you have another instance where this has worked in the NFL, where, hey, it's worked in baseball, where you had Jack McKeon like leading the Marlins to a World Series championship, hockey numerous times, where you switch the coach, team goes on to win the Stanley Cup. In football, I mean, more often than not, it's the interim coach because things are down and out. And yes, there's other instances like Rich Bisaccia, but that really wasn't performance related. Like the idea that will this actually work? If we're going to explore this question, well, who is Jeff Albrecht? What kind of details can you kind of share? Is he actually cut out for this as a future head coach, or was he just the only option you had at this point?
Well, I think that he's a guy that was going to be on. If the Jets had a good year this year, Albrecht's name would have come up for some head coaching openings. He's a guy who's a really good linebacker for the 49ers, really good. His career was cut short by concussions, but he was a very good instinctive linebacker. And the buzzword is accountability. Robert Saleh is such a nice guy, great human being. He just was one of those coaches, and I hate to criticize him because it's a good human trait to have empathy for your fellow man, but it's not the best when it comes to coaching this brutal sport of football and holding players accountable. And we all know what happened last year with Michael Clemens and Deion Dawkins in the tunnel coming off the field. And I'll give you an example of this was a moment where I'm like, whoa, I don't know about this situation with this coach and accountability. There were three things that happened 3 weeks in a row with Michael Clemens. One week it was against Buffalo. He had this scuffle in the tunnel against Deion Dawkins. And then they play Miami and he gets into a fight and an official gets bloodied. He gets thrown out of the game. To be fair, he didn't punch the official. The official got in the middle of a fight, but he was in a fight, thrown out of the game. Week later, Cleveland, he's dropping F-bombs at the crowd behind the bench. So a reporter asks Robert Saleh, what do you think of his behavior? And he goes, if you knew him like I knew him, you'd have no issue with anything he did. Well, let that quote sink in for a second, guys. I mean, Could you ever hear Sean McDermott saying that? Like, I don't want to pick on Robert because he got fired. But that quote is like, wait a minute. Where's the accountability here? You can't act that way with the penalties that Clemens was drawing and fights in the tunnel. I mean, to me, an answer would be he's a good person. He means well, but he can't do those kind of things. How about that for an answer?
It's not what we're about. Yeah, of course. Dan, there is a missing piece to the defense, and the last time we talked to you, we thought we'd get resolution by this point, but we haven't gotten any resolution. In fact, it feels like it's a little murkier now than it was even then with him and his agency separating. What's the latest with Hassan Reddick? Is he going to play down for the Jets this season?
I've never covered a story like this in all my years covering the Jets. It's so weird that this is still going on. And why would you make a trade for a player who had a contract dispute with his prior team without resolving the contract dispute before you made the trade? That made absolutely no sense. So this is a weird story. Now it's about ego. I mean, this guy's been fined millions of dollars. Like you said, his agency dropped him, the powerhouse CAA. I think Joe Douglas is a good GM, and he's done a lot of good things. But I don't understand the concept that the one time he addressed the media on, he said, we tried to rectify the contract before the trade. We couldn't. And then we said to him, we made the trade. We said, come in here and work, and we'll see how it goes and try to work out a contract. You can't do that. You can't bring a guy in and say, if you work hard, we'll see how your contract works out. I mean, when you make a trade for contract dispute, how many times have we seen it? Like Brian Burns being traded from Carolina to the Giants, the defensive end. And before the trade's made and the draft picks are sent to Carolina, the contract was ironed out. So very weird story. Never seen anything like it. They certainly could use him. There's no doubt about it. But I think it's an ego thing right now with him.
Dan, we gave our picks earlier in the show. I'm actually picking the Jets, and I you know, for many reasons, and I just think that one reason here, Buffalo is not coming in playing good football here in the last 2 weeks, and the injuries are there are a lot of them for this Bills team. How do you view this matchup coming up Monday night?
Yeah, I think I like the Jets too. I think that even if you're not a believer in interim coaches, it's kind of like Andy Dalton went in for the Carolina Panthers, obviously not a coach, but that 1 week spark you get. Sometimes you get that spark with the interim coach up front, and then it kind of fades, just like when you get that spark from the backup quarterback with Andy Dalton in that first game against the Raiders, and then it kind of faded. So I think whether you believe in interim coaches or not, I think they will benefit this week from changing up that position. There's going to be more accountability. That's just how Jeff is. So I think that'll help them. So I do think the Jets will win this game. How things go long term, I have no idea. But I think this week, obviously a very tough game when you face Josh Allen, anytime you face Josh Allen, and Sean McDermott's a heck of a coach. But I think they win this game.
Defense rule of the day here. Do you think a low-scoring affair Monday night?
I don't know. It's hard to ever say that with Rodgers against Josh Allen. You know, when looking at the Jets' schedule, one thing that occurred to me and why I thought they'd have a good season, maybe win 11 games, was the quarterbacks. Because it's a quarterback-driven league, and while quarterbacks don't go head-to-head, so to speak, they really are as far as which quarterback's better. That often determines who wins the game. And so let's look at the schedule, because they don't play a lot of tough quarterbacks. And I went down, you know, Knicks and all the different ones they faced. They faced New England after this. So the two Josh Allen games were the ones I'm like, those are the tough ones. So I can't see a low-scoring game between these two quarterbacks. And the Jets, you can run on the Jets. So I don't think it'll be low-scoring, but I do think the Jets will win.
Dan, tell everybody how they can subscribe to Jets Confidential. The phone number, 1-800-932-4557.
Look at that.
By memory, Danger. And also, when is your next trip to Rochester?
Well, I will. I keep saying I wish the schedule would put the Buffalo game earlier in the year. It's not that I'm against the cold weather in Western New York. It's that it kind of screws up the Niagara Falls trip that I always like to mix in. So once again, why do they keep putting the game in December?
It's true.
I don't know. What is the reason for that? Why not put the Bills Let the game, what am I going to say? We had a week one game against the Jets a few years back.
It was COVID.
Early season. Let this game be in Buffalo and then the late season game be in New Jersey. But no, I will be coming up for the game this year in Buffalo. I promise. And it will be a stop in Rochester, either coming up or coming back to New Jersey. That is a promise. And like you said, Gene, to order the magazine, 1-800-932-4557. And as we often remind everyone when we bring that up, Rochester-based company for like a quarter of a century now.
Wow, makes you feel confidential. Old. Makes you sound old, Dan.
Yeah. And by the way, speaking of older gentlemen and older things, a man in Henrietta, New York, a friend of the family, Herbert Morris, big Bills fan, World War II veteran, turned 100 on Tuesday.
Wow.
All right.
So happy birthday to Herb Morris in Henrietta.
That's great. Love that. Dan, it's great having you on with us. Appreciate the time. Enjoy your weekend. Let's do it again soon, bud.
It's always great to be on with Gene and Reach.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate you.
All right, bye.
Dan Leberfeld, Jets Confidential. Can't help himself. Sees my Twitter profile and my title, my Odyssey title, or regional brand manager.
He calls me Reach for short.
Regional brand manager.
That is a sign for short of acceptance.
I love him.
Somebody can needle you like that.
No, he's the best. And even though he's predicting a Jets win, we still love him. You're predicting a Jets win.
I like the Andy Dalton analogy, though.
You get a spark.
You get a spark.
Yeah, but you're not changing quarterbacks. That's part of why I like the Bills. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been good.
You're changing the play calling, though. And if you like your question about Hall, like what's up with the running game, all right, let's try something.
Maybe.
Different.
I mean, look, I think if Hall can't get it done against the Bills defense that's shown they've struggled with teams that can run the football, see Baltimore, even first half against Arizona, I mean, he should be able to get over.
If there's one thing that is fishy here, the Bills are still favored by 2.5. With all these injuries, with the Bills losing their last year, with everything kind of, hey, all this newness around the Jets, I mean, that's the one thing I slam on the brakes like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Well, let's get into it a little bit more. We'll talk about that injury report from today's walkthrough practice. Happy Hour is next on The Fan. We have time for your calls if you want to pull up a stool. 585-866-4FAN. In fact, call that number now in the sports bar, 585-866-4326. And we'll give you a free pair of tickets to see Tom Segura come together. That's Sunday, May 25th, 2025. He's coming to the Kodak Center in 2025. Tom Segura. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Win a free pair just for listening to The Fan Rochester when you call 866-4FAN. Caller 5 gets those seats now on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.